a sinner who's probably gonna sin again. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Things I don't understand. Sometimes I need to be alone. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe.
I can feel your energy from two planets away. I got my drink, I got my music.
World, what's up, YouTube? What's up, Twitter? First, I don't know why I said YouTube, because I'm not going to put this on YouTube. What's up, Twitter? Facebook, it is I, Lee Zellers, June 10th, on a Monday. Recovering from Sunday. I got this rant. I got to start the show off like this. Because I got this rant. And I'm sitting here drinking a little tea, a little honey in it, try to soothe my throat. Why I'm trying to soothe my throat? Because I'm following along with this dumbass practice that we've been doing for I don't know how many goddamn years of shaking hands. This shit needs to stop. It needs to stop. We need to just start hugging it out. I'm serious. We need to just start hugging it out because the handshaking thing is nasty. So I've been to a couple functions. Shaking hands. Because, you know, there's some people, they know who I am. I know who they are. I see them. Hey, you saw them. Hey. You know, and it's, I'm local. Cincinnati. Do a little something here. Make some little independent movies every once in a while here in Cincinnati. Every once in a while. Used to do it quite often. Prior to that, I used to do photography. Some people probably know that. A few people that's listening. That's how I got into the whole film game. But anyway, I digress. So I'm shaking hands. Then after a while, this had to happen somewhere midways. Because, you know, I got a little drink, socializing, talking. Got a little drink, standing there. Hey, how's it doing? Yeah, hey, things cool. Hey, what's up? Right? Yeah, yeah, blah, blah, whatever. But then at some point, it's my chair squeaking. I need to sit still. I realize when I go to shake her hand, after I shake her hand, a couple of hands later, turn my drink up, and I smell a little aroma on my, like, right hand where the drink I'm holding. And I'm like, that wasn't there at first. What is that? What the fuck is that smell? Smelled a little tart. Little human body-like. Wasn't for me. Because I got a thing about being clean. Some people know that. I got this obsession about baby wipes. If you're not going to jump your ass in the shower after you take a shit, you need to have you some baby wipes. That's the only way. You need something wet back there that's going to wipe off some shit. Not smudge it all over your backside like paper towel. Paper towel don't do shit. It's a good way to start. I know this is like, hey, Lee, this is like TMI, but some of you motherfuckers out there need to know this shit. Because if you did, I don't know exactly what that was that I came in contact with, but I just know this. And I'm not doing this for sympathy because I'm not one of those Facebook people laying on a bed in a gown with tubes running out my ass saying, help me. If that's you, that's cool. But I digress. I'm up at emergency. Yesterday, my girl, she comes to get me. Takes me up there. Thank you, Donna, you're so sweet. Takes me up there. Doctor checks me out, looks in my mouth, and he was like, that shit looks real nasty in there. He didn't say shit, but he did say it looks real nasty in there. Give me like these three drugs. I'm still, you can hear it. I'm still struggling with this. But you know what? I know what? I know. Got that all screwed up. I know how this had to come about. It was from a lot of contact. And see, I have a issue, a problem, a mistake, a thing that I do when I'm getting sleepy. And that is a bite on my fingernails. I don't know why. But I do that. And that's, my friend, is how the shit went down. And I hope it wasn't literal. But that's how it went down. And I was like fucked up with this shit. You can still hear, I'm struggling now. They got me on all kind of shit over here. Like the guy said, it looks nasty in there. And I'm still working for some closure on this shit. But anyway, that's my rant. It's a practice started thousands of years ago. This handshaking shit. The handshake has existed in some form or another for thousands of years. An article I'm reading here from historychannel.com. You might want to check it out. But its origins are somewhat murky. One popular theory is that the gesture began as a way of conveying peaceful intentions. Like, I'm not going to fuck you up right here on the street because you've been messing with my woman. That's what it is. By extending their empty right hand, strangers could show that they were not holding weapons and bore no ill will towards another. Like I said, fuck you up because you've been messing with my woman. Some even suggested that the up and down motion of the hand was supposed to dislodge any knives or daggers that might have been hidden up a sleeve. Yet another explanation is that handshaking was a symbol of good old faith when making an oath or a promise. Bullshit. The shaking of the hand to see if a weapon fall out, I don't know, like, for the day, how necessary that is. You might need to pat somebody down before you shake the hand if that's the case. I know this much. It's a nasty practice, and we need to stop it, and I've talked long enough about that. Let me sip some tea so I can get my throat together. So how you doing out there? I hope your day been great. Hope your morning is great. Hope your ride to work is great. Your ride coming home is safe. You're laying in bed. However, wherever you might be listening to this, hope you're not somewhere being held captive by some psychopath and he got this blaring in the other room while you tied up in knots, hoping somebody come rescue you. And if you are hearing that, in that case, send help to get that person out of there. What's been up? Lots. Horns blowing. Don't know what that is. Somebody outside, I guess. So, the former counsel to the White House, John Dean, during one of those committee hearings, happened today on Monday, which is today, June 10th. John Dean sat before the committee, basically kind of like, you know, he was involved in Watergate, special counsel back then, basically tried to lay it out there. Nixon was a fucking asshole, and I tried to tell him that. So because of his experience with Watergate, they figured like, hey, you know, this guy was like one of the original people back there in the 70s, 74, I believe. That when they was going to hold have these hearings where they were impeaching Nixon, which he just went ahead and said, fuck it, I'm out of here. He knew they had the shit on him. They knew it. So John Dean was there, and he knew all of it. So it makes sense to bring a person in to basically say, hey, you know a little something about all this shit that's going on. You watch the news still. You know what it was like. So we like to kind of just, you know, let you pull our coat. Tell us. What is today comparison, if there is some, to Tricky Dick, to Tricky Donald? What's the comparison? Right? I mean, this is a guy, he's legit. He can say, hey, some things that's kind of very similar. I see a lot of patterns here. And when you see sometimes patterns to certain things, not to say it always add up, but sometimes it do. And when it do add up, that's a problem. It's a problem for Donald. Donald know it is. That's why Donald likes to talk shit. You know, Donald have a, man, I got to do a show on just this alone about this Donald Trump thing. Because this Donald Trump, man, it is so fucked up that we've fallen in such a place where this guy is actually sitting in the Oval Office, like the number one grifter on the planet, sitting in the White House. Wouldn't be there if it wasn't for his daddy. He wouldn't be there if it wasn't for his daddy money. Probably wouldn't be there if he had money just kicking it off, because, I mean, how many billions he lost? Yeah, he's rich, but this guy had a lot of failures too. But anyway, I digress. They bring in, you know, John Dean, got a lot of experience with this stuff. Old fat boy up there is taking up a seat in the Oval Office. Somebody else, a good man, could be sitting there, at least a decent individual could be and will be sitting in that seat. He's just keeping it warm for now. Excuse me. He had to say, you know, call Dean a loser. He's been a loser for many years. What the fuck have you been? Like, it's not a report out there about John Dean fucking a porn star with no rubber on, but there's stuff out there about you. You've been paying them off. With your boy serving time because of that shit. Michael Cohen, you ought to hear this. I wish you could hear this. Somebody should try to get that to him. Yeah. You fucking porn stars. Your boy paying them off. He's serving time for you. But this guy's a loser. We got you on tape talking about grabbing women by the pussy. Because when you're a celebrity, let it do that kind of shit. Because some fucking Donald D. Trump, rich millionaire, New York City, boy. And I grabs women by the pussy. He don't even talk that educated. I grab women's, you know, he got the hand gestures. But anyway, you can imagine. He grabbed women by the pussy. Called an American hero. Captured by the Vietnamese, refused to leave, tortured, arms broken, reset, broken again. Senator John McCain, a real American hero. What this fat boy up there say? That he's not a hero. I don't look at him as a hero. What the fuck is you talking about? Who is you even say some shit like that? He's not a war hero? Because he was captured and refused to leave unless his men could leave? And he's not a war hero? Oh, man. To hear that come out of his mouth when he did, oh, man. This guy disgusting. And y'all support this shit, but I digress. He said John Dean was a loser. Trump. A little bit of history, some good history, some sort of ZBM comic relief history. On this day in history, Herbert Washington, he finds a hubcap laying in the street. This is like 1935. Let me check the date on that. Nope. Got that wrong. Let me make sure I get this right for you. This is around about 1940. Herbert Washington finds a hubcap laying on the ground. You know what Herbert Washington does with that hubcap? Herbert Washington takes that hubcap and he places it beside a telephone pole. Thinking, you know what? Probably was riding with his old lady. Damn. Hubcap, you know, hubcaps back then cost a lot of motherfucking money. Herbert saw that hubcap. Let me go get that. Thought he could have took it, but he said, you know what? No. I can just take this, and then in case I lose a hubcap, I can put this one on, even though my shit gonna look mismatched. But I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna take this hubcap, and I'm gonna place it over there by this telephone pole. Just maybe, the person who lost this will drive by and like, damn it, there's my goddamn hubcap. Herbert Washington, 1940, this day in history. You might want try to fact check it. I don't know if you'll ever find this story or not. Could be fake news. Fake news is entertaining sometimes. Especially when you know it's fake. Anywho. David Ortiz. Goddamn, can you go anywhere in this country? Well, he wasn't in this country. But what happened to him seemed like something that could have happened in this country. David Ortiz, a native of the Dominican Republic, was at a bar in the Capitol at about 8:50 p.m. when a man on a motorcycle approached and shot him from behind. Fucking coward. According to the Dominican National Police Director, Ney Adrian Batista, something else there, it's a long name. Ortiz's father, Leo Ortiz, told local reporters that his son, 43, was fine after surgery and that the bullet did not hit any vital organs. And I quote, he is out of surgery and stable. He is resting. Big Poppy will be around for a long time. End of quote. Damn. Dude go back home. He's at home, chilling, hanging out, you know, with some friends. Because the Dominican television host, Joel Lopez, and another person who was also wounded in the attack, according to the Associated Press. Lopez was shot in the leg. His injuries were not considered life-threatening. You know, you're out at a local bar. You're a local celebrity. I got to talk about the celebrity thing. Even though he went national, but back home, you're just a local guy. Everybody knows who you are. So there's Dave Ortiz. Ortiz. I don't know. I be messing up names sometimes. Having a drink. What was it? Some jealous ass. Never made it out of Little League. Been hating on him all these years. Always been a coward. Shoots the man in the back. I don't know if that's what it was, but that's what it sounded like. It could have been to me. Hopefully, they did get the asshole that did it. I guess the rest of the story will come out eventually. You know, sometimes it pays to be, maybe it would pay even more if it was a real big person and you went out on a boating expedition or something. And, because you never know. A boating expedition could save your life. It just could. Because we got a story. Knocked overboard in rough seas off New Zealand, a German yachtsman credited his genes with saving his life after fashioning them into a makeshift life jacket that kept him afloat for over 3 hours before his rescue by the Coast Guards. Arnie Merck, I believe I'm pronouncing the last name right, could be wrong, 30, was sailing with his brother in Toluga Bay on the east coast of New Zealand, North Island on March 6th, when the yacht boom swung unexpectedly, whacking his ass into the water. It don't say whacking his ass, but it do say whacking him into the water. Unable to reach the life jacket thrown by his brother, Merck was soon carried off by the swell. Man, that had to be some scary shit, you know? Because I can't swim. I don't know about a lot of you out there, but just, you know, I'm not like proud of that. Nothing to be proud of. You can't swim. It means you drown, you fall in the water. But I always think I can get my ass out of there. I'm just thinking I could. Luckily, I knew the trick with the jeans, Merck told the New Zealand Herald newspaper. Without the jeans, I wouldn't be here today. They were really the thing that saved my life. He made knots at the end of the legs and pulled them over the water to get air inside and then forced them under to trap the air and create an improvised life vest. And you know how that worked, don't you? You're probably sitting there thinking like, what would he just explain? How in the fuck would that save me if I got on some jeans? I'm going to tell you this. If you're a big person, it's really going to help you and probably somebody else. Basically what happened is, if you tie the jeans at the end of the leg, the ankle, you can tie that into a knot. And then, like, at the waist of the jeans, have them in both your hands, like it's like if you were pulling them up on your leg, but instead of pulling them up, you're going to do the opposite. Like you're going to pull it down. So you got them above the water, you pull it down. It's just like if you took a cup and forced the cup down underwater, you would capture that air right off at the top before it goes down. And he captured air in there. How ingenious. I'm glad I thought of that because I can't swim, like I said earlier. And there's some shit like that should happen. I fall in the water. Hopefully I have some jeans on and not some blue jeans shorts. My life will be saved. So much. We learn sometimes from listening to ZBM podcast. Zeller's podcast. You know, sometimes things happen. Like they say, they happen for a reason. You're like walking along somewhere, you happen to be a prison guard. Get a whiff of something, like, what the fuck is that? Smells like a dead rat. And then you look down, there's a dead rat. But then you look a little closer, like, something looks weird. Well, suspected organized criminals have been stuffing the bodies of dead rats with drugs, phones, and cash and throwing them over the wall of a British prison to get contraband to inmates, the government said Monday. Guards at Guy's March Prison in Dorset, South England. There's a prison with the name Guy in the title. Guys, this is nothing but promoting gay sex and rape in prison. Anyway, grew suspicious when they found the bodies of three rats with long stitches along their stomach, official says. You know, I mean, you're not going to put a lot of thought in this. If the idea is the way we're going to get contraband, get some weed in, pills, cell phones, whatever, we're going to put them inside a rat and stitch them up. You know, somebody probably was using some big ass thread loops and all that shit, wrong color and everything. They discovered the animals had been disemboweled and filled with five mobile phones and chargers, three SIM cards, cigarette papers, and a large amount of drug, including cannabis, marijuana, lao, whatever you want to call it, synthetic substitutes, as well as tobacco. The finds show the extraordinary lengths to which criminals will go to smuggle drugs into prison, and underlying why our work to improve security is so important, British prisoner minister Roy Stewart. First name Roy, I'll tell you to do. Change that name from Guy Prison. Change it to, I don't know, something else. You got to come up with a better title than Guy Prison, like End of the Road fucking prison. That's what you call that shit. The End of the Road fucking prison. Guy Prison. Man. Sometimes, you know, you just got to be creative. How much creative was that right there? You got some friends on the inside. You trying to get something to them. You know, they like their weed. They need a cell phone. They might be trying to call, I don't know, some 1-800 suck my dick site, something. I don't know. Why did I throw that out there? I never did a 1-800 number in my life. But there was a time when that shit was like epic. You used to see that stuff on, you know, they got away with that stuff too. Like, you see them shows come on, like, hi, what are you doing? Sitting on the couch, holding your testicles, wishing you could put them in my mouth. Now, I'm just saying that that's probably what a female would say. I don't know if it was a gay commercial out there, because I'm straight, but hey, if that's what you do, gay, homosexual, that's what floats your boat, whatever floats your boat. But I'm just saying, I was just talking about how the commercials was back then. It was kind of lewd. You don't see them anymore. So, but a person in prison, maybe there's some still out there. Maybe that's why they need a cell phone with, you know, SIM cards and all that. I digress. But how creative was that? Well, I'm telling you how they got caught. Somebody just didn't want to take the time to do that right. They didn't want to take time to, like, you know, cut the rat down the middle, maybe down the somewhere on the side where the hair was still at or something. Because down the middle, I don't know if they were rat's stomach underneath, is it bare? You know, like your dog and stuff somewhere, like the underneath belly area is kind of bare there. But you know what? Some asshole, telling you, some dude being lazy and shit, trying to get some oxycodone or some fentanyl, some shit, heroin, whatever. He already had it, probably his damn self, cut the rat open, did it all, was probably with some fucked up scissors, it's like dull as hell. He had to try to stitch the shit back. And, you know, probably didn't take time to clean out all the organs and shit. Then fucking can't get some matching color stitch. Just grab whatever you can find out of his mother's cabinet. Fucking blue yarn or something. threw it over there thinking nobody's going to ever discover this. How clever am I? Dumbass. Boy. Thank you for checking out the show. For those who's listening. I want to try to do this every day if I can, but, you know, I do somewhat live a busy life. Didn't know if I was going to make it through this show because my throat, even though it's feeling a lot better than it did yesterday, but it's still kind of, it's a little rough. I'm going to go out in a second and get me some Eskimo pie. Why do they call it Eskimo pie? It's an Eskimo bar. I think it's Eskimo pie, but I like those. I think it'd be very soothing for my throat based on how it's feeling. Like again, I like to say, I hope everything's going good in your world. Hope Trump sideshow, circus show, not having too much of an impact on your life. Some people just love him so much, got you shit in your pants when you see him on TV. There he is! That's the Donald! Our savior. Asshole. Thank you for tuning in, checking out the show. One day I'm going to have to do a show just about the Donald. Just about the Donald, just my thoughts on him, how this whole thing came about, how this whole circus, fucked up Barnum and Bailey's freak show came about. Race is a motherfucker. Telling you, has a lot to do with it. Race has a lot to do. Money has a lot to do with power, all that kind of stuff. But race plays a big part because you got to play the race game sometimes to get to the masses. People that's going to come out and support you, vote for you, give you money. You talking that kind of language? God damn it, boy. Write your goddamn check right now. Shit. And they standing there proudly right now thinking like, yeah, I wrote a check for that boy. I remember the day when he said goddamn African countries are shitholes. He said, I spent my money well. Good people on both sides. There's decent people on both sides. On both sides. Man. I gotta do a whole show, but just on the fucking Donald. Because I can't stand his ass. Disgusts me. Fat racist. Taking up the old office seat. Sitting there right now. He could be sitting there right now. Eating a Big Mac. Fries. Ain't got no napkins or nothing like that. You can kind of see. Can you imagine him when he's not in a goddamn suit? But you know what? I can't imagine Donald without a suit. I don't think Donald ever takes off his suit. Because that's like his superhero uniform for a fake superhero. Sitting there at the Oval Office, taking up a seat for somebody who could be doing a better job. Fries, Big Mac, laid out on the desk. So many great, better, well, I'm not going to say great, because a lot of the presidents wasn't. Well, where a lot of better presidents has set there. And, could do a hell of a better job than this clown doing. This clown got his damn greasy thumbs not too far from the nuke buttons. And he's just sitting there right now, probably on Twitter. Hamburger in one hand, fries in the other one, phone laying on the desk where he should have some paperwork. And he's sitting there tweeting. Hope you checked out the show. Hope you enjoyed the show. For those few people that follow the show, thank you. I'm out with my squeaky chair. Trying to get those things. Catch you on the next one. Enjoy.
I am a sinner who's probably gonna sin again. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Things I don't understand. Sometimes I need to be alone. Bitch, don't kill my vibe. Bitch, don't kill my vibe.